He was lost and now is found. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today we rejoice in hearing the parable of the prodigal son. We might call it the parable of the two lost sons. They're both in their own ways, often away from the communion of the Father. But focusing especially today on the younger son, who goes to his father and asks that he might have his share of the inheritance. And when he gets it, he goes off into a far country, and there he wastes his substance with riotous living. He loses it all. A famine hits the land. He decides to press on to take care of matters himself and puts himself in the service of a stranger who puts him in the field to feed swine, which is a great degradation for a Jewish man. And there he finally comes to his senses. As he's so hungry he would eat what the pigs are eating, he's so hungry he remembers the goodness of his father's house. And he thinks to himself, I'll go back home and ask my father to make me a hired servant, because they even have food enough to give away for themselves and for others. So he makes up a prayer of repentance. Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And then we see the great reconciliation, the father who forgives him and brings him back into the fold. But there is something key that we shouldn't miss here, and that is that the father never accepts the condition of his return that the son has invented for himself. Make me as one of thy hired servants. He hears the confession part. I have sinned before heaven and you. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. But that's where the father is embracing him, and he refuses the condition that the son would impose upon himself to just accept him back as a servant, not as a son. And he calls for the signs of sonship. Bring the robe, bring the ring, bring the shoes, make the feast. My son was dead, but is alive again. He was lost and now is found. And this is so important to us because it shows to us, as St. John Chrysostom will teach, that the son, he leaves the family home. He leaves the fellowship and the communion of the father. He leaves rejecting his own sonship, because what he does is not according to being a son. It's something else. He's degrading himself. It's not according to who he is. So he's not faithful to his sonship, but the father is always faithful to his fatherhood. So we may deny God, but he never denies us. We may go a wandering, but God never wanders. He is faithful, he is true, and the father shows us that nature of God, who is always true. Well, the son, he forsakes his sonship. He forgets about it. He goes and does those things that are not in accordance with sonship, wasting the family's fortune, and then degrading himself. And there is the tragedy of that sin. Every sin is a tragedy. The real understanding of tragedy is not some kind of accident. If somebody has a freak accident on the highway, people say, oh, that's a tragedy. Actually, if you look into the meaning of those words, that is an accident. A tragedy always involves moral failure. The person was supposed to do something right, now they're not doing something right. They were supposed to stay true, now they're being false. They're supposed to remain faithful to the one who is true to them, but now they're off wandering, serving idols and wasting their life. So we see the tragedy of this moral failure of the son. Sin always involves moral tragedy, and it always goes into the direction of death. So we see that with the son. It's killed the relationship with his father, or wounded it. It's dying if doesn't turn around and come back. We see the reduction of the man as he pursues his sin. At one point, he could have turned around. He could have, after he lost his money, he could have gone back home. But no, he tries to fix it himself and keeps walking away from the family. That doesn't work either. So he has a certain degradation that always accompanies the sin. Now, the great moral theologian Dante will say that a person will accept sin in their life as far as they're willing to accept their own degradation. That's interesting to think about. There is a real acceptance of this man for his degradation. I spoke to a man once that was a heroin addict. And he said he finally decided not to stay on the streets in San Francisco in the druggie life after he saw somebody, you know, he saw the boot coming. Somebody was kicking him with a Doc Martin on the street, kicked him in the face. And he saw that boot coming, and as he got kicked in the face, he was like, I'm not doing this anymore. Okay. I'm not going to keep going lower. I'm not going to keep this path of degradation. And so the tragedy of sin, we see the consequences of it, and we do see finally that the son sees the consequence of his own sin. He comes to a point of recollection, of self-awareness, and sees himself in the sin and goes, my father's house is better, I'm going back. Well, that is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We can't see those things about ourselves unless we are aided by the Holy Spirit. No man can do anything that is good without the Holy Spirit. We hear that in the collect for this morning, that we have to do, we can only do those things that are good by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the power of God in us. And so it is a gift of the Holy Spirit that he's able to see his condition, his situation, and then turn around, 180 degree turnaround of repentance. He comes back home. And we see the contrition in the man. He is sorry before heaven and before his father that he's done these things. And he is willing to admit that. So we see the honesty of the confession. He honestly recognizes how far he's gone from where he should have been, and he's willing to admit it. That is the honesty and the humility of confession. And on that humble ground where the truth will set him free, he comes back home and he makes his confession prayer. And as I said before, the Father won't accept the condition. He'll only accept him back as his son, elevates him back to sonship. And now they rejoice because he's returned home. Here we see the unconditional love of the Father. This is a picture to show you who God is. Jesus is showing us, here is the Father's love for us. Here is the Father's love for you. It is unconditional. It is for ours to receive. And there is no sin that God will not forgive if we truly repent of that sin. And so that is the unforgivable sin is a sin not repented of. That's where a person denies the lordship of Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross, and they make the Holy Spirit a liar who is testifying in all the world that these things are true, and they turn away from that mercy. That's why it's unforgivable. They've cut themselves off from the source of their forgiveness. But if a man or a woman is willing to repent in truth of their sin, God is faithful to forgive their sin, to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. But that humility is necessary. That honesty is necessary. And we see now the beauty of that unconditional love of the Father who sees the Son coming from a long way off, runs out to him. He's been in expectation. And he embraces his Son and brings him back. And that is the beauty of God's love to us. He will always bring the sinner home. Now, how do we live this out in the church? I read a beautiful passage in The Descent of the Dove by Charles Williams, page 28. And he says, this is in the second century. So, you know, maybe three or four generations of Christians. And then there is already worked out in the church a method to live out the gospel through the sacrament of confession. It's already there. Early on, the sacrament of confession. What's it for? It's for the cleansing of post-baptismal sin. After a person has been baptized, they've received Christ. They have passed from death unto life by their profession of faith. They have received the sacrament of holy baptism. They have been regenerated by the Holy Spirit. They are now a son of God, but they have forsaken that sonship or denied it through their sin. Now they need to be cleansed and reconciled. How does the church do that? In a regular administration of sacramental grace, pouring out the gift of God's forgiveness through the ministry of Christ in the sacrament of confession. And that is where a person can receive that forgiveness. That is how they're reconciled. There is the honesty of their confession, and there is the mediation of God's unconditional love. William says something so piercing in this understanding. He says that penance in the church is the only juridical system ever designed by mankind where the object is forgiveness and reconciliation. The only system of justice that man has ever designed. where the object is the forgiveness and reconciliation. That's beautiful. And that's ours. God has given to us this gift of grace. Let us receive it. Let us never be afraid to confess our sins. Let us ask God that he would convict us of our sins. Never be afraid to confess our sins. Always be ready to receive the love of the Father, that we may truly rejoice and come into the everlasting feast prepared for us of heaven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.